Bryant Reeves gets it through Kincaid, and the Knights are on the board. 2-1 New Jersey with 7:30 to go in the first period. In the waning moments, in a right wing shot, save, rebound, score, Cody Eakin. Here's the draw, won by Burns, dishes left, no shot yet. Burns the return feed, around to the right for Thornton, penalty over, dish up top, stolen by Miller, it's a 3-on-1 shorthanded. Miller up the right side with Stastny, right side, Miller waits, he shoots and scores! Colin Miller, a shorthanded goal, 2-0 Vegas.
With Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Well, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if it's a bad song, but it fits, then fine. Then I'm good with it. It's not like I'm going to go home and listen to my NSYNC CDs because I don't have any and I never would.
You were angry about Gloria. That always fit.
Well, at the start, it was just nasty. And it was way overdone.
Mad about Hall & Oates. That fit.
Then, well,
100% fit.
They're just terrible.
Fit every time.
Terrible. Terrible.
No.
Plus, it was overkill.
No, it wasn't.
Way overkill.
I don't think so.
More than like 10 seconds of it is overkill. Okay. We had about 10 seconds of bye-bye, so it fit. I'm good with it. All right, let's find our way up to Vancouver right now because we have a special show going on today. Dave Gosher and Gary Lawless will be up in Vancouver. In fact, they're already up there, and you can hear them right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM at 4 p.m. for a special show talking about the NHL draft. That will be today at 4, and then again tomorrow, Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. to get you all that draft information. Gary, you're up there in Vancouver getting ready for the draft, and a lot of stuff going on today.
Yeah, this is going to be a great listening for Golden Knights fans. The show will start at 4 o'clock. We'll kick off right away with George McPhee. We'll be follow him up with Kelly McCrimmon. And then I believe Craig Button from TSN is going to join us. He's the foremost draft expert in the NHL. He'll give us a breakdown of what he thinks is going to take place in the first round. And then we'll be live throughout the first round. And when the Golden Knights pick is made, we'll have that live right on the radio for you. And then shortly after, that player will come to the booth and he'll sit down with Dave Gosher and I. That'll be the first chance for Golden Knights fans to hear from their first round pick this year. So this is appointment listening for Golden Knights fans.
You know, Gary, when you look at the draft and you're looking at just organizationally where you think the Golden Knights need to focus when it comes to this draft, is it forward depth? Is it potentially goaltending? What do you see George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon doing with this draft?
Well, I see them taking the best player available regardless of position. For early on, I think early on, you just the best player that's there, especially in the first, second, and third rounds, you take that player. A little later in the draft, I think you would look at positionally where you are as an organization, and that will depend on what you get in the first three rounds. So if the first three picks are defensemen, yes, I would expect later on in the draft for them to say, okay, we need to add centers, we need to add a goalie, that sort of thing. But really, the first three picks, that I think will set up what happens later on in the draft. But the first pick, for sure, and I believe the first three picks, it will be the best player on their list that's available when they get to draft.
You know, Gary, it seems like a lot of people think when it comes to this particular draft that the draft is really starting with the third pick in the draft because the first two are pretty much locked in. But then a lot of people also think that a draft really starts when the first trades happen. Do you think that there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft this year? And do you think that the Golden Knights might be involved in some of them?
Well, I can tell you this. The phones have been ringing more at a much higher rate than normal this year. A lot of that has to do with the salary cap. A lot of teams are over. They're up against it, and they're, you know, the process is you've got to shed cap. How do you do that? Not by adding a roster player. You trade one of your roster players for picks or prospects. So I do think there will be some trades. Whether or not they start to unfold this evening or more tomorrow, that remains to be seen. But don't be surprised if the Golden Knights get involved. Their cap situation is no secret to anybody. They need to shed cap, and they'll take in, if they move a veteran out, they'll take picks or prospects in. That's my expectation.
Gary, when you talk about making a deal at the draft and the Golden Knights with their cap situation, what do you kind of see? Like, do you have any inclination or any thought as to what we might see out of George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon today in order to free some of that cap up? And then do you have any update whatsoever on William Karlsson and what might be going on with his contract?
I have no update on the Karlsson draft or discussions because, as you know, George McPhee, he always says the same thing on that one. When there's something to announce, we'll announce it. So that one has been kept very close to the vest. So, but again, you know, until they free up some cap, it probably makes sense. You know, they're already over. Hard to really get into heavy negotiations until you get the cap a little bit looser for yourself. That being said, without a doubt, those two sides are in contact with one another. William Karlsson has made it very clear he doesn't want to leave. He wants to play in Vegas. And the Golden Knights, he's their number one center. Like that's a huge hole to fill. I would be shocked if William Karlsson does not remain with the Vegas Golden Knights for a long, long time. He's an important player on their roster. I think that as to what they may or may not do, that all depends on who the partners are, right? Who's interested? It's such a hard thing to guess. You know, you could say, they're gonna trade a veteran defenseman for a second round pick. Well, you gotta have a partner willing to do that. So that's what all these phone calls are about. George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon would have been taking the pulse of every general manager in the National Hockey League and trying to figure out exactly what they can get for the players they're considering moving.
All right, Gary, well, we truly appreciate your time. We know that you're very busy up there in Vancouver getting ready for the show. You guys will be on, you and Dave Gosher, 4 p.m. Pacific time out here, obviously, right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Then back again tomorrow, Saturday, at 10 a.m. to give everybody all the insights on the draft. And who knows, maybe this is a season that we see one of those draft picks, Cody Glass, Nick Hager, somebody else making the Vegas Golden Knights team. Maybe that's a way to get under that salary cap, like you mentioned, maybe get rid of some players. But it's an exciting time here, pick number 17, unless something happens earlier. But I know you guys are going to keep everybody involved on everything going on, and we appreciate it, Gary.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Dave and I have spent a ton of time preparing. We've used all our contacts around the NHL to get some really good guests. Gary Bettman, Commissioner Gary Bettman, will join us at some point in time in the next couple of days. And the real key for Golden Knights fans, every player that the Golden Knights select that is in the building here in Vancouver, shortly after his name is called on the stage, he'll be live on the air in Las Vegas.
All right, so you'll hear it first here, right here on Fox Sports Tonight with Dave Gosher and Gary Lawless. When the player's picked, you're going to hear him first. The future Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Thanks a lot, Gary. We look forward to the show tonight at 4 p.m.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Gary Lawless up there live. And, of course, we spoke with Dave Gosher yesterday talking about the NHL draft up in Vancouver. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Jared Justice in the hot seat today. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. And why is Jared in the hot seat? Besides the fact that he does awesome opens and a lot of good work for us around here. Well, Chris Chapman, the guy that normally is in that seat, is up in Vancouver. Let's head right back up to Vancouver right now. Chris, how's it going up there? I heard you on Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff a little bit earlier today down the dial on ESPN Radio. And I know you were just kind of getting up. Now you've had a chance to check out the city a little bit. How are things looking in Vancouver?
Well, it's a very nice city. First time I've ever been here. Lots of high rises. It kind of reminds me of Hong Kong a little bit with all the high rises and mountains in the background. But I haven't had much chance to explore. And it's funny, as I say, that George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon walk right by me on the floor here. So
get them on.
What are you doing talking to us? Put the phone in front of their face.
I don't think I quite have the access to them just yet. So
they know you. Don't. Just say, hey, guys, we're live on the air. You got a minute?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. What city doesn't have high rises?
No, but this is all high rises. It's like it's they film a lot of movies up here. Vancouver. I think part of the Avengers were filmed up here, so like a lot of the cities that you see in the movies are actually filmed in Vancouver. So it almost has like that quintessential city feel to it. There's a lot of green, a lot of people walking around, lots of people on bikes. It's actually a very, very nice city. I'm kind of bummed I haven't had a chance to really explore it yet, but maybe tonight after the draft or tomorrow.
Chris, let's be honest about it. Is there anywhere you go that it doesn't remind you of someplace in Asia?
Yeah, Chicago doesn't remind me of anywhere in Asia.
All right, so serious question. The other day I asked you what you were most looking forward to in Vancouver, and you said the sushi. Have you had sushi yet in Vancouver?
No, that's on the docket for dinner tonight. I'm gonna find a sushi place and have that for dinner tonight.
Okay, so let's talk about the Golden Knights and what you think they are going to do tonight in the first round of the draft. Obviously, we know they have the number 17 overall pick. So there are some players that I think can make some sense. There are some players that I really don't want the Golden Knights to draft, Spencer Knight being number one. But outside of that, what else do you think might happen tonight? Do you expect the Golden Knights will A, pick at number 17, or B, move up or down depending on maybe potential trades?
Well, I think they have a lot of assets in terms of trade or picks to where they could move up and make a trade if they wanted to. I'm not sure if there's a guy that they have targeted. I think the guy I really like from what I've read, and granted, none of us have really seen any of these guys play outside of highlight videos on YouTube, but Moritz Seider, he's a German defenseman, and he reminds me a lot of Nate Schmidt. He moves the puck really well out of the zone, and he skates really well for a defenseman. So he's a guy that I've kind of looked at. I'm not sure if he's going to be available at 17, but if they feel the same way about him that a lot of the scouts that I've read do, there's a possibility he could be a guy they move up for. I'm with you on the Spencer Knight. I think it's always risky when you draft a goalie in the first round. That George McPhee in his entire career as general manager has only drafted one goalie in the first round, and that's Varlamov. So it's debatable on whether or not that really worked out, because he kind of lost his job this year in Colorado. But I think it's 50-50 if the Golden Knights stay at 17. However, I do have a gut feeling that there will be a trade before the end of the draft, either today or tomorrow, involving this team.
You know, the other thing, too, a lot of talk, we're talking about them moving up. There's even been talk about them moving down as well. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. A lot of people think that this draft starts with the third pick in the draft because the top two, everybody knows what that's going to be. But a lot of people think that a draft really starts when the first trade happens here. And I'm curious to see not only the Golden Knights, but there's a lot of speculation that people think that there might be a lot of movement from a lot of different teams out there, especially with the salary cap being lower than it was originally projected to be.
Yeah, I think the consensus third pick that I've seen is this Alex Turcotte. So I think after him, it seems like things could really start to get interesting, because I don't really think anyone has any idea what's going to happen. There probably will be a lot of moves. And I was thinking about this on the drive in, and you guys will probably agree with me. George McPhee was able to take advantage of so many teams in the expansion draft. He fleeced Florida. He fleeced Anaheim. He was able to fleece Minnesota. I'm not so sure there's going to be a lot of teams that are willing to work with the Golden Knights or throw them a bone or help them out in the event that Golden Knights come calling. I think there could be some teams driving some hard bargains with the Golden Knights, almost as a way to get back at them or stick it to them for really having such a successful draft. I mean, no team's going to purposely not work with the Golden Knights to hurt their team, but I just don't see Vegas being a team that a lot of people are going to want to work with.
You know, Chris, one of the names that has been reported as a name that's out there for a potential trade, just Bob McKenzie that reported it, was P.K. Subban, or is P.K. Subban. What do you think the likelihood is, or what are you hearing in Vancouver? What are you seeing from some of the general managers that may or may not be in the building? Who might be talking to who? What do you think the general consensus is on P.K. Subban? Is it really just, we're picking up the phone, we're listening to offers, or do you think that this is something legitimate? We might see P.K. Subban on the move.
Well, I think it's it's one of those things where it would be irresponsible not to listen to offers. I mean, look, if someone makes a phone call and just absolutely blows you away with an offer, I think it's irresponsible to not take it. And look, let's be honest, PK is a guy who's getting up there in age. He's not a kid anymore. You know, I haven't heard anything other than what I've seen on Twitter. I wouldn't be shocked. You know, nothing shocks me in this league. You see blockbuster deals all the time, but I think I'd be surprised if he was moved, but you never know. I mean, this is the name of the game, and teams are always looking to get better, and PK is a guy who could help you out a lot if you're really close. And maybe Nashville's looking at it like, hey, our window's kind of closed now. I mean, I'm not sure what's going through the minds of that organization, but it's certainly going to be a very interesting draft, probably one of the more interesting ones we've had in recent memory.
You know, one of the other rumors, I think, surrounding the Nashville Predators and to an extent the Chicago Blackhawks is that both of those teams are in on, or at least are interested in, Corey Perry.
No!
For the sake of Frank, can we please let this become Corey Perry is a Chicago Blackhawk?
You know, we'd have to come up with a new song to bother Frank, because I would imagine it would take a lot to really get under his skin if that happens. So I'm in the camp of you. I want to see that happen.
Well, Frank is going to hate his nickname. You know what his nickname is, right? Corey Perry?
No. What's his nickname?
Scory Perry.
That is really, really cheesy.
It's awful. It's so bad.
I just remember him taking a slap shot on a breakaway.
Yeah, and he scored.
I already know what could get under my skin, but I'm not going to share it with you guys right now because you're evil.
Corey Perry will be a Chicago Blackhawk, and then he'll develop. And then he'll develop, like, in 2 years when the Blackhawks realize it's a bad contract, he'll develop some weird allergy.
Well, either that, or it'll go the other way, and we'll have another bad. The Blackhawks will have another bad contract where they get an aging veteran like Bobby Orr, and all of a sudden he's garbage when he comes there.
That's the Blackhawks way, right?
All right, Chris. So, last thing from me, just give me a bold prediction. A Chris Chapman purple velvet blazer bold prediction about what you think is going to happen tonight with the Golden Knights.
I think Colin Miller is traded. I have this sneaky hunch Toronto or Buffalo could be a destination for him. And if I was going to go out on a limb, and I'm just making a guess here based on a lot of the rumors that I've read online, Toronto or Buffalo could be the next home for Colin Miller.
Okay, so you just said that you had a hunch, you were making a guess, and also from the research you did. Now, what is the reason that you're throwing this out there?
Well, no. I mean, I'm making a guess based on what I've read online. So, I don't have any inside knowledge.
So let me ask you this.
You're still thinking about Miss Universe, aren't you?
Of course, yeah, Catriona. I'm never going to forget about her.
Okay. Chapman, this is a question I have for you, because the Leafs are, and again, this is all conjecture. It's all a bunch of people's reading too much into what Bob McKenzie tweets, reading too much into what everybody from Vancouver is tweeting. But the logical choice, or the logical thing, is that if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you are pretty certain that Mitch Marner might be gone, because reports are that he turned down an 8-year, $88 million contract, and you have the ability to go out and get PK Subban. And granted, it's a gigantic cap hit. But if you're able to go out and get PK Subban and make that work, would you instead turn your attention to Colin Miller? Because it doesn't seem like that would be the way to go.
No, of course not. You know, when Toronto is up against the cap, you know, it was interesting because I was watching TSN last night, and they were talking to Kyle Dubas, the general manager of Toronto, and he was basically saying, hey, look, there's no guarantee that if someone gives up an offer sheet to Mitch Marner that we're going to match it, and maybe a little cat and mouse game by Kyle Dubas. But I also was hearing that they're looking to move Kasperi Kapanen and Nazem Kadri. So, you know, Toronto could be the team that really wheels and deals the most tonight.
Yeah, and we're going to get into Toronto a little bit later on, too, because Dubas said that there's no guarantee that they would match it, so we're really not sure exactly what they're looking to do in Toronto. But, Chris, we appreciate it. Let people know where they can follow you on social media and that as you'll be following the draft here tonight.
Well, you could catch me on on Twitter at Magnum702.
Magnum702, that is a place. And, you know, you don't have to put up any food pics, but something tells me that you might.
No, I'm not TC Martin. My sushi will not be on Instagram or Twitter tonight.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's even more of a reason to follow.
As an aside, you can also follow at Fox Sports LV for all draft coverage. Chris is going to be tweeting from both his account and the Fox account. We will keep you up to date with everything going on Vegas Golden Knights news and information throughout the draft.
Yeah, make sure you listen to Gary and Dave tonight at 4.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. And, well, we look forward to your coverage tonight. We'll see what happens with the Vegas Golden Knights and who may or may not be drafted and who may or may not still be a Golden Knight when the weekend's over.
Yeah, hopefully it's an exciting, fun night.
All right. Thanks a lot. Chris Chapman there, live from Vancouver, getting ready for the NHL draft. Once again, if you want all the information of what's going on with the Vegas Golden Knights and everything on the draft, tonight at 4 p.m., Dave Gosher and Gary Lawless will be on live right here on Fox Sports Radio. Then tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Gary and Dave will be back again with more draft coverage. When we come back, we're going to be looking around the NHL. You heard Chris and Ryan talking a little bit there about what's going on in Toronto. We'll touch on that. Lots of other things going on. A lot of movement, a lot of rumors, a lot of news right now. Might be the offseason, but there is no offseason when it comes to NHL hockey. We cover it all here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace. I got the
picture of me and you. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Jared Justice in the hot seat over there. And, all full disclosure, we threw Jared a bit of a curve today. Jared thought that Chris was going to be coming up in this segment, but we did him in the first segment today. So
that's why this song is on. So I have a thing where
you didn't time that out pretty
good. No, I didn't. I have a thing where anytime Chapman comes on as a guest, you play China Grove, you play One Night in Bangkok, you play I Think I'm Turning Japanese, because he is our he's our East Asian
Oh, he wants to live there.
Yeah.
NHL expand over there and have a team. He would want to go cover it.
He's the East Asian insider.
All right. So, explanation now there. And even in Vancouver, he's comparing the city to Asia. So
exactly,
that's what he does.
Right.
All right. Jared's out, so we're going to keep on going here. When we were talking with Chris, we were talking a little bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs and their situation. For people that don't understand exactly what you're talking about with Mitch Marner, Marner offered $11 million a year to stay up in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Well, reported. Or not that did or didn't happen, if that is accurate, and Mitch Marner did indeed turn down 8 years, $88 million, then good luck, Kyle Dubas. Because I don't conceivably think you can sign him to anything more than that. I don't see how it works. With Nylander, with Matthews, with it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, if they sign him to more than that, you're going to have two of the three highest paid players in the league.
Well, and to be fair, if I'm Mitch Marner, I want as much as I can get.
Well, absolutely. I mean, every player wants as much as they can get.
Like, I don't fault him, but it's going to be tough for Kyle Dubas because there will probably be an offer sheet to Mitch Marner. And if that is an accurate report, if it was $11 million average annual value, then a team is going to have to come with more than that in an offer sheet.
Right. And if you're not familiar with the offer sheets, the way it works is the top offer, anything over $10,568,590. I don't know how they came to the exact number, but that is the highest offer. Anything of that or over, if you sign that player, then the team that you take him from, you end up giving 4 first-round draft picks to.
Yeah.
So that's the top thing that you can have. So, but you think that somebody would go out there and say, you know what, we're willing to make that deal.
So what would you do if you were Kyle Dubas? Right? Like, so you are looking at Mitch Marner and you say, okay, you know what? We think you're worth $11 million a season. We've got Austin Matthews at $11.634 million. We've got John Tavares at $11 million. William Nylander at $6.962 million. Okay. So we put you above Nylander. We put you right below Austin Matthews and right next to John Tavares. And you say no. What do you do if you're Kyle Dubas? Because the offer sheet's going to be 4 first-round picks. Because no team is going to have a legitimate chance of signing Mitch Marner if the $11 million average annual value is accurate, and that is what he turned down from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because if it's less than that, what's the incentive? What's the point? Why do it? If you're Mitch Marner, if you're turning down $11 million to play in Toronto, your hometown team, why are you going to take less to go somewhere else? It doesn't make any sense. So if you're Kyle Dubas, what do you do? Do you match a ridiculous offer sheet for Mitch Marner, or do you take 4 first-round picks? Because I know what I would do.
Well, it's also interesting because we don't know exactly how high that offer sheet might go. If it's $11 million is the starting point, how much do you think somebody offers him?
I think if you asked Mitch Marner right now, he wants to be the highest-paid player in the league.
Although there are some reports out that he's not looking for a max offer. Well, obviously he is.
Well, again, it's reading between the lines of what is and isn't out there and trying to decipher if that 8 by 11 is indeed accurate. Because if it is accurate, are you really holding out for $12 million? Like, do you want to get paid the exact same amount as Austin Matthews? Is that what's going on here? Like, I don't know what the answer is. But again, if you are a team that's looking to get Mitch Marner, I think the reality of the situation is you've got to come with a max offer. However, we talk about this 8 by 11 or $88 million. Who's to say, not saying this is the case, but who's to say, understanding teams are going to be interested in Mitch Marner, understanding that teams may throw an offer sheet his way, it is a good idea if the Toronto Maple Leafs perhaps leaked a little bit of information that seems to indicate Mitch Marner isn't interested in signing for less than what it would be to get 4 first-round picks. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying that the Maple Leafs leaked information to try to detract people from submitting an offer sheet, but I am saying if it is something that happened, well done, Toronto.
Well, yeah, sometimes leaks are good for you. Sometimes it's just good, smart business there. And it's interesting, too, because if my math is correct in my head from what you just said, the 3 players that they have already, and then you add Marner, you're talking like $40 million in that neighborhood, maybe even a little bit more than that, tied up in 4 players with a salary cap that's not going up as much as they thought it was going to.
Yeah, you'd have legitimately half your cap in 4 players.
Yeah, half your cap would be in 4 players of a 23-man roster. That's a big cap hit.
So, again, when it comes to this entire situation, where's the truth? Was there an offer 8 by 11, $88 million over 8 years? Was there an offer? I don't know. Maybe. Did information come out from the Marner camp? Did information come out from the Maple Leafs camp? Is it a ploy to try to get teams that are on the fence about offering Mitch Marner, saying, oh, man, we thought maybe we could get him for $9 million. We thought maybe we could get him under that $10 million threshold. If that's not the case, then we're not going to do it. I can see it going both ways. It's fascinating. It really is. And we'll never know the truth. Like, we'll never know what ended up happening unless Mitch Marner signs an offer sheet and it comes out much, much later. But, I mean, if I'm Mitch Marner, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I don't know how you pass up the idea, the belief, the thought in your mind of winning a Stanley Cup in Toronto. For a kid from Ontario, for a kid that wants to be a Leaf, for that lovable little guy, Mitch Marner, I don't know how you pass up that immortality of bringing a championship back home to your home. And I don't know how you do it.
And especially, and this shouldn't be part of the equation, but we've heard some of the Maple Leaf players already talk about it. They saw how crazy that city just went for the Raptors winning the NBA championship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How much do you multiply that by if they win the Stanley Cup? 5 times? 10 times? I mean, not that they don't love the Raptors, but if the Raptors wouldn't have won, the city wouldn't have been in mourning. When the Maple Leafs don't win, they're crushed up there. For them to win a Stanley Cup, they would. You talk about never having to buy a drink the rest of your life or whatever cliche you want to use. You are immortal in Toronto if you help them win the Stanley Cup. And like you said, it's where he wants to be.
It's exponential. The championship celebration, what would happen in Toronto if the Leafs won the Stanley Cup, is exponentially a bigger deal than the Raptors. It is. It
just, absolutely.
It just is. And again, when it comes to Mitch Marner, you're weighing that. You're weighing team success over individual success. And how much money do you want to get paid? And if you're Mitch Marner and you believe that you are every bit as good or better than Auston Matthews, if you think that there are the only guy that's in your class is Connor McDavid, okay. Hold out then. Sign an offer sheet. Go play for a team that's going to be garbage for the next 8 years. I don't care. If what you're after is money, understand that you're probably not going to win. And that's okay. But I think you get into sports because you want to win, right? Like, if I'm Mitch Marner, I take less money, I go play in Toronto, I become a legend. I don't just sign an offer sheet and waste away for 8 years because I'm on a crap team. That's what I would do.
Well, not only that, not only are you a legend and everything else, but also when you win a Stanley Cup, especially if you win a Stanley Cup in Toronto, any city in Canada, but certainly Toronto or Montreal are the two that everybody always associates the most with. Whatever you maybe, if you take a little bit less, the endorsements and everything else you get up there would just blow that completely out of the water.
I'll tell you this. Right now, if I'm Kyle Dubas and there's an offer sheet and it's over $11 million, okay, bye. I'm taking the picks. Because if you hit on just one of those four, you've already replaced Mitch Marner.
And the other thing, too, to take in, and this isn't to say that Mitch Marner's not a great player, and he's 22 years old, so he's got a ton of life left. I mean, he's starting his career. But Mitch Marner's already on the team. They didn't win the Stanley Cup with the guys that they have there right now. So does that come into the equation whatsoever? And then you also have to ask yourself, with the salary cap being a little bit less, and we hear so many teams right now strapped with trying to get under the salary cap the way it is, how many teams can legitimately even give him an offer sheet?
Well, not teams that are close.
And that's the thing, like you just said. If you're a garbage team and you make him an offer sheet, why would you want to go there unless it's a ton more money?
Well,
and it's not going to be a ton more than 11 mil.
Why would you want to go there if you're Mitch Marner? I don't know, but why would you make that offer if you're a team that's on the fringe or you're not necessarily drawing? Because Mitch Marner's a draw, and it makes a ton of sense to try to bring him in. But for me, it comes down to what you want.
Yeah, Marner. Yeah. I didn't mean from the other teams. I understand why a team would want him, but for Marner, like you said,
but
if I'm not going to a contender, then I ain't going.
But at the same time, then you could look at that as a challenge if you're Mitch, right? Like, you could look at it and say, everyone thinks that I'm only good because Auston Matthews is on my team, John Tavares is on my team, and William Nylander is on my team, and they think that I'm a product of the system and I'm just racking up points because I'm playing with these elite guys. I'm going to go somewhere else and show everyone that I'm the reason Toronto was good. He can look at that as an opportunity to prove that he's one of the best players in the world.
I'm going to show that Ottawa is a winner.
Yikes.
Well, if he wants the challenge, that's the biggest one in the league.
Listen, he's not going to Ottawa because that would require Pierre Dorion and Eugene Melnyk to actually spend money, and they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I know. I just said that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
That's 3 or 4 years down the road before 5 years of unparalleled success. So, not Ottawa.
What's your gut feeling? Does he go someplace? Does he stay in Toronto?
I don't think Mitch Marner will be a Maple Leaf next year.
All right. There you have it. Stay tuned.
I think he wants the money, and I don't fault him for that.
I don't fault him for it either.
I think if Kyle Dubas is smart, he's going to take the picks. He's going to hit on one or two. Hey, he's only got a hit on 50%, and he's already got more than he would have in Mitch Marner.
It will be curious to see. If you see a team out there that all of a sudden starts dumping a lot of salary, will it maybe be, we got to start dumping some salary because we're going after Marner?
We'll see. It'll be fun. It's a good thing to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Oh, the home openers were announced for teams, and the Vegas Golden Knights, I don't think it's a big surprise because the NHL, although some people like to say that they don't like the way the leagues run here and there, they do pay attention to certain things, and I don't think it's any surprise to anybody out there that the Vegas Golden Knights open October 2nd at T-Mobile against the San Jose Sharks. Is it a surprise that their second game will be up at the SAP Center against the same Sharks as they will also be their home opener? Back-to-back games against the same team to open the season.
No, it's not necessarily a surprise. This was one of the biggest stories in the aftermath of Game 7 in Round 1, the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. The only thing that I want to see out of these two games is that both of the new rules implemented because San Jose got favorable calls in the playoffs, I hope that both of those new rules come into effect in both of those games. It'd be great.
It would be fun. See a little hand pass action, see what goes on.
Hey, I want it,
and
I
then
want
they
it,
try yeah. to say, well, it went off the forearm, it wasn't a hand. I mean, it's a who knows what's going to happen. But there have been some rule changes.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that now referees, if it comes to a major penalty that isn't a fighting major, referees will be able to consult video review to make sure that it is indeed a major penalty. A penalty will be assessed no matter what. Even if there actually shouldn't be a penalty called, it could be reduced to a minor. But they are going to get these calls more often right than they're going to get them wrong, and that's, I guess, the only progress you want to see. And then there will be coaches' challenges for any type of play that should have resulted in a stoppage in the offensive zone that led to a goal. So, most specifically, hand passes. If there is a hand pass on a play that should have been blown dead and it wasn't, and a goal resulted, coaches will now be able to challenge that, and challenges will be essentially infinite, meaning that if you incorrectly challenge a goal, you will be assessed for the first one, a two-minute minor. After that, it will be a four-minute double minor, and that will be kind of in perpetuity. You can challenge as many times as you want to, but you can also put your team down as many times as you want to, so it's a double-edged sword. What are you going to do? We know Gerard Gallant likes his challenges, so that'll be fascinating to watch next year as well.
All right. Some other things going on around the league in the NHL. Corey Perry, we touched on that in our segments, in the first segments there with Gary Lawless and Chris Chapman. Corey Perry, well, he may not be a Duck anymore, but he may be going to another team. Rumors out there that Nashville and Chicago are interested. I'm really hoping that the Chicago rumor is total garbage.
I think it's Chicago, because if there's one thing the Chicago Blackhawks need to do right now, it's get older and slower.
Yeah, and by the way, Corey Perry, you said that they call him Scory Perry?
What? Scory. Scory Perry, yes.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Scoring isn't their problem.
Well,
they need to stop teams from scoring against them.
He doesn't do a lot of that anymore.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't stop the other team from scoring either.
Fair point.
He doesn't do much of anything anymore. That's why the Ducks said, we're going to give you $8 million to not play for us.
I want him to be a Blackhawk so bad right now.
It's not going to happen.
He'll be so angry.
Roberto Luongo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Says that he will let the team know in a few days whether or not he's going to stay with the Florida Panthers. Now, Florida letting it be known that they are not necessarily interested in keeping Reimer around, the backup goaltender. A lot of talk about Bobrovsky going to join the Florida Panthers. Do you want an aging Roberto Luongo as your backup goaltender if you're going to be bringing Bobrovsky in there? What do you think happens with Luongo?
I think Roberto Luongo is going to retire, mainly because there's just so much wear and tear on his body. There's so much wear and tear, and he's played for so long. And I just don't think that even if you end up getting Artemi Panarin, even if you end up getting Sergei Bobrovsky, I don't see a legitimate path for the Florida Panthers to win a Stanley Cup in the next 2 to 3 years. So if that's the case, What are you playing for if you're Roberto Luongo? You're a Hall of Famer. Everyone knows how great you were. I don't think a Stanley Cup's coming. It's really going to be hard for you to continue to play at a high level.
The Anaheim Ducks, we talked about them. Corey Perry, not a Duck anymore, but three players did sign contracts. Holzer and Grant, names that aren't as well known, but Ryan Miller did sign again, another year as the backup goaltender there. What do you think about the Anaheim Ducks and Miller staying there? I think it's a good move for Anaheim. John Gibson, as good as he is, when you got to play in front of a team that's that bad, sometimes you get injured.
You can count on two things when it comes to John Gibson. He can be the best goalie in the world, and he's going to miss like at least a quarter of the season because he's hurt, because he's playing so much and he's got no help in front of him. Ryan Miller was a very, very dependable, very good backup for Miller for John Gibson last year. I think it's a good signing. It makes a lot of sense for Ryan Miller and the Ducks.
The Edmonton Oilers, a team that you would think that a lot of people would want to flock to.
No.
Because Connor McDavid is there.
No, so is Milan Lucic.
But they do have some talent, Drysdale and McDavid. You would think that'd be a nice 1-2 combination. But now they have a young man who says, if they don't trade me, I'm leaving the NHL.
Yeah, no, good for Jesse Puljujärvi. He said that he will either get traded or he will play in Europe. And I think that's a great plan. He's been mismanaged ever since he was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers. Just another failure by that organization.
They've had a few of them. Far from the glory days of Mr. Gretzky. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap it up here on a Friday. Don't forget, 4 p.m., you can check out Dave Gosher and Gary Lawless as they'll be live with all the NHL draft coverage. Something going on at the City National Arena next week as well. We'll tell you about that or remind you about what's happening with the Vegas Golden Knights on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.
The Golden Knights from the Colorado Avalanche select Calvin Pickard, goalie.
This isn't the Alex Ovechkin Power Hour. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
I just don't understand when in just 7 days.
Oh, welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Once again, you can join Dave Gosher and Gary Lawless, 4 p.m., starting with that NHL draft coverage. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Jared Justice, doing a great job behind the board for us with all the rejoins and open and everything else that he does. And I'd like to remind people that next week, if you have a little bit of time, a lot of people have some time off this time of year and that, over at City National Arena, we got development camp going on.
We do. It'll start on Tuesday through Saturday. It's going to be our chance to see some of the new prospects, some of the old prospects, some of the yet-to-reach-perfection cooked prospects. So we'll see. It'll be good.
And you never know who might show up there. Last year, there was a kid that joined the roster who wasn't a draft pick or anything else, Jimmy Schultz. He was so impressed with the way that the team acted and the vibe around them that guess what? He's now a Golden Knight. Well, not officially on the Golden Knights team, but he's part of the organization. So sometimes somebody that you don't even know is part of the future plans could end up being part of the future plans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when it comes to Jimmy Schultz, that's obviously somebody that I think can factor into what the Golden Knights do well next year. So, it's going to be interesting to see development camp. I'm really interested to see what ends up happening with the draft. Not so much who they end up drafting, but if there are any extra on-the-side deals to free up some cap space, because while I don't know that the Golden Knights believe, or at least they've said they don't believe they're in as big a cap trouble as we all think they are, they do need to make something happen in terms of cap space, because William Karlsson needs a new deal.
Any chance that the top two draft picks are not the top two draft picks that everybody's talking about?
0% chance.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. All right, that's going to do it for us. TC Martin's up next. Thanks for listening. You can join us again next week as we get ready for development camp. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey.